It's good to see everyone today, and I'm feeling a lot better. I had really bad heat exhaustion there a week or so ago, and from working out in the sun and just caught up with me. I drank a lot of fluids, and I got in the truck and sat in the air conditioning, you know, off and on, but it was just, it was like, it must have been the hottest 2 days of the year. And of course, those are the days that I pick to do some kind of special project. And
those are the days that Don and Joe crack the whip.
Well, I was real busy all the whole month of June, and I had to empty a storage unit out that had several large tool chests, like from a mechanic shop. And so I had to have it emptied on June 30th. And I ended up being there until 10 o'clock at night. As a matter of fact, I was locked in the storage place, and I had to call some 1-800 numbers to make the keypad work so they could let me out. So they saw me on the camera, and they let me out. But I didn't get home till after 10 o'clock on that night. So, but I'm... Yeah, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Plan ahead. Everything that I already know, but just didn't put into practice. All right, well, we're in Matthew chapter 26. So if you will, turn in your Bible to Matthew 26. All right, we're going to look at just the very end of what we would have described as Tuesday after the end of the Olivet Discourse is the beginning of chapter 26. It could actually go into chapter 25, and they could have started chapter 26, verse 6, but because it's actually part of that time. All right, so the end of Tuesday... Jesus concludes the Olivet Discourse, and then he announces the date of his death. And then the chief priests plot to kill him. Joey, if you will read, just read verses 1 through 5 for us.
When Jesus had finished all of these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people."
All right, thank you. All right, throughout the Bible and throughout the Gospels, particularly, there are these moments when we have basically what we call a time stamp. And so this time stamp is in this verse 2. You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming. So Jesus is telling us, you know, giving us the context, the time. Just like in the beginning of Luke, he says, in the days of King Herod, you know, the certain priest and all that. We have these opportunities for these timestamps. It's what we how we describe them, so that we know that this is the Wednesday before the Passover. All right, and then the chief priests here. This is their final, one of their final get-togethers, where they decide that they're going to kill Jesus. You know, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus has been predicting his death. You know, that he's going to be betrayed to the chief priests. Then after 3 days, he's going to rise again from the dead. It's coming, this is happening. What's been said all throughout his ministry is now coming to an end, to a fruition in which he fulfills his own prophetic announcement. All right. They say not during the festival, but It happens in, during the festival anyway. All right, so let's move right on in. So Wednesday, so the next movement, also in verse 6, we show the Lord Jesus at Bethany. He goes into the house of Simon the leper. I'm going to have Joey read this in just a moment, but there are other anointings, right? He's going into Simon's house. This woman comes to anoint him. The other anointings include when Jesus is in the house of Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, and then also in John chapter 12, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anoints Jesus. All right, and then we'll have the Judas conspiring to betray Jesus. All right, Joey, read verse 6 through 16. 6 through 16.
Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him.
All right, thank you. All right, so we can see that in this last few chapters, we only have a couple of chapters left of any of the Gospels of Matthew. There's just 26, 27, 28. And we're going to work through that about halfway here today. And then Mark and Luke. And now there's several more chapters in John. John covers the most of the final week of Jesus. And we're going to look at some of the events that occurred that are different in John as well. But here we have Jesus is now in Bethany. So he's moved from Jerusalem to Bethany, which is just outside. And what do we know about Bethany? What else, something else that occurred in Bethany or some famous, well-known characters are from Bethany? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. All right, so that's where their home is. All right, and he goes into this man. And some say that Simon the leper, all right, he's been healed of his leprosy. Otherwise, they couldn't go to his home. But that possibly that he might have been the leper in Matthew chapter 8 that was healed of leprosy. It doesn't say that specifically in this particular context, but that's a possibility that he was one of the lepers that was healed before. I know. That's what they call him. But they wouldn't be able to go to his house if he had existing leprosy.
Well, Simon was a common name, and that's just how they differentiated him from other Simons.
Yeah. Right, so he goes to this fellow's house, and then a woman comes in to anoint him with this perfume. And the disciples, it wasn't just Judas Iscariot. We know Judas, they said, another place says, you know, Judas Iscariot, he was the carrier of the purse. He had the money. And he was a thief. I don't know why you would trust a thief with your money, but but Jesus, you know, I mean, Jesus knows what's going to happen. And You know, he's not worried about money. He can, you know, he can get coins out of the mouth of a fish. He's not too concerned about money, right? But he, so they have this perfume, and they say, well, what a waste. And then Jesus confronts them and says, you know, well, why do you bother? It's like Jesus saying, you don't have the right priorities. Correct? He's challenging them and their thoughts. And that's what Jesus does throughout the throughout the Gospels. And that's what the Bible does for us throughout the Bible. And that's what God is doing. He's always challenging us on how we think, what our perception is of others, our attitudes toward God, our attitude, our thoughts about Christ. And that's what I gather out of this. If I look at it, I say, well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean to me? Jesus is telling them, look, you don't have your priorities straight. You're worried about this perfume that's being used to anoint me for my burial, and I'm thinking about my death and burial. You know, what's about to happen here in the next day or two? And we use this phrase sometimes, you know, you always have the poor. You know, and that's true. We always have the poor available to have to show charity to and to be concerned about and those kinds of things. Here, in this context, the priority is Jesus preparing for his burial. And he just said it just a few moments before, or the day prior, that he's going to be handed over. All right, any thoughts on those first few verses? Or anything different that you might get out of it? Or maybe how it challenges you? Those are sometimes some of the things that we need to think about. You know, ask good, what we call good questions of the text. We ask questions. What does this mean? What's Matthew trying to communicate to his readers as he tells the story of the events of the final week of Christ? You know, we add more and more detail to the story, and we go back and we get information throughout the Bible to help us to illuminate what's being said. All right, then in verse 14 through 16, we have Judas Iscariot, right? One of his disciples, one of the men who've been with him from the beginning, is now going to betray him. And he went to the chief priests and asked them, you know, what will you give me? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver was quite a bit of money for them. It was 30 pieces of silver was equivalent to 120 denarii or 120 days' wages. So that's 4 months, right? Or thereabouts. All right, so that's a significant amount of wages, a significant amount of time to earn that much. And then in Zechariah chapter 11, I have it here on the screen, verses 12, that there's a reference. Maybe you have a reference in your Bible. But it says this, Zechariah, he said, "Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." And we know that later on when Jesus returns, or I mean when Judas returns the 30 pieces of silver, when he realizes what he's done, then they take the money and they buy a potter's field as a burial place. And so there's a reference to this. This is a fulfillment of this Zechariah prophecy here in this in the betrayal of Jesus. Well, we don't have anything that says that.
I know, but I'm just, if anybody else ever read that or heard that.
No, there's lots of hypothesis, you know, on everything. You know, that's the thing, when you read, when you get on the internet, books, there are such a variety of ideas, and I think that's what John's kind of talking about on Wednesday night with Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st and 2nd Peter, you know, he's stirring up a remembrance. He's reminding them of these things that he told him of that have been preached, that have been taught, that Peter's written in letters, reminding them of the things that Paul said, particularly about false prophets and false teachers. There were false teachers in the past. In the days of the prophets, there were false prophets and false teachers. He refers to them. And so it is in the time of the first century with the disciples. And so it is now. And so there are lots of teachings out there and possibilities and things like that that are just not in the text. Yeah, I know.
It's just there in chapter 27, verse 3, it says, "Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver." Mm-hmm. Well, that might be one thing that would make people think maybe he didn't. John, what do you think about it?
I've heard that. And there's speculation about it, but that's what it is, speculation.
Yeah.
Look at how many times he had witnessed Jesus when they come out to lay hands on him, disappear into the crowds. Or they come out to, you know, accuse Jesus and show him up, and Jesus shuts them down. It's possible that that was part of his reasoning, but we don't know. The fact is, he betrayed him.
One of the other things that I've wondered is, and that's been brought up before as we've been talking about this, is why they even had to bribe him. Jesus was very obvious everywhere he was, you know, and he was picking him out like nobody knew who he was. It was pretty obvious who he was, I thought, you know.
Well, and when you read through this, Judas goes to them.
Yeah.
What are you going to pay me for?
Yeah.
I'll give you some information. So there's his motivation.
But they want to, let's see what it said. In 26 verse 4, they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. And I don't remember the verse, but I thought that there was a point where the crowds even said, isn't this the one they want to, like, indicating that Jesus is the one they want to kill? So the idea that Jesus was going to be killed, you know, was prevalent there as well. But they wanted to do it by stealth. And so Judas, when he offers to betray Jesus, you know, the further that we go, you know, he betrays him with a kiss in the garden. It's at night. So he gives them the information to betray Jesus in a stealthy way, you know, rather than in the temple court, in the open.
As was just read, they're already concerned. Don't do it on the Passover because it'll stir up the crowds. Mm-hmm. We can't let the crowds know what we're doing to them.
So they're arresting him. Otherwise, they're arresting him secretly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Away from the crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and Judas was able to give them enough insight to say that he's going to be we're going to be by ourselves at this particular time after dark, you know, because they come with lanterns and they have lanterns and everything.
And also, it fulfilled prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, it always has to fulfill prophecy, it always does.
Yeah.
Well, it's just interesting to me, that's all. It's obvious that he had remorse and said that he blood that doesn't change anything, but at least his heart for the moment was truthful. He was truthful with himself.
I think farther on when he shows remorse, it's from what I can extract, it's a like I really messed up this time. Yeah. You know. Maybe they did, you know, they were doing more than he anticipated.
I think it's pretty common for people to show remorse after they've committed some crime.
Yeah, when you get caught.
That's unusual at all.
Mm-hmm. When you get caught, you're real sorry.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's keep reading. I don't have anything on the screen for this next part, but we keep reading. All right, and Joey, you're going to start with verse 17, but I just want to say this as we go into it, as you look at it. Now we're on the first day of unleavened bread, all right? So the time has changed as we go into the next set of verses. All right, read verse 17. Let's go to 25, 17 through 25.
Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city, for a certain man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.'"
Yeah, you have said so, or you've said it yourself. So Jesus here is saying, all right, let's get ready for the Passover. Verse 18. When after they ask, "Well, what do you want us to do?" He says, "Go into the city." Does that sound familiar to you? Something that happened right at the beginning of this final week of Jesus.
They went into the city to
get
donkey.
Right. He said, "Well, go to this man's house and get this donkey." And if he says, "What do you need the donkey for?" He said, "That the Lord has need of it." Right. A colt. And now he tells them, "Well, just go to this fellow's house and get it all set up for us." So I find that interesting. You know, these people may have been people that Jesus met. They might have been followers of Jesus. There are a lot of followers of Jesus who were not the inner circle or not the 120 or whatever closest followers. There were people that were, you know, watching Jesus and who he was or had admiration for him or just different things that he would have interacted with, people that, you know, he just met and knew, you know. So they go in to get things set up. All right, and then when the evening came, and so you'll notice, I just want to point out these little timestamps, how they help guide us to know when events occur. All right, so it was the first day of unleavened bread, and the earlier it was 2 days before, and now when evening came, Jesus was at the table with the 12, saying, "One of you will betray me." Well, Judas has already made the deal, right? So it's kind of a past and foretelling. Past events, he made the deal with the chief priest, and then he's going about to do what he agreed to. And they were all curious, and he finally got to Judas. He said, "You said it. You know, is it I?" "Yes, it's you." Well, the others were asking the question, "Is it I?" They all went through and asked "I," and they finally got down to Judas. You know, it's like Peter said, "Is it me?" You know, "Is it I?" John, "Is it I?" You know, the different ones. All right, let's keep going. Verse 26 through to verse 35. Joey, 26 through 35.
"Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' All the disciples said the same."
Okay. All right, so here we have what we describe as the Lord's Supper. We often read this as we prepare for the Lord's Supper or communion. And Jesus saying that, you know, this is it. This is the Passover meal. I am like, you know, the meal that the Israelites had in the days of the Exodus, in which they, you know, left out of Egypt and went to and crossed over the Red Sea as they journeyed towards Promised Land. Right. This is my body. And there's a reason verse 28, he gives the reason, this is my blood for the covenant, all right? Covenant is agreement, an agreement between God and humanity. There have been several covenants that God made with humanity over throughout history. And now there is a new covenant. Jeremiah talked about there would be a new covenant would be made with the children of Israel, and ultimately the entire world, Jews and Gentiles. And it's for forgiveness, right? To receive forgiveness of sin. He was not there to overthrow the Roman government, as some desired. He was there to give himself to make a bridge, if you will, between God and humanity. Yeah, it is. I mean, Jesus here, he's predicting his death. Who's going to betray me? Who's going to deny me? You know, all these things are happening, and they're happening fast. And, you know, how much they realize or not realize, they're just, you know, they're asking questions. Is it I? You know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We don't fully understand. We hear you. We hear what you're saying, but you know, exactly how is it going to come to pass? But they're together, and Jesus is, you know, giving them, you know, forecasting, foreshadowing events that are going to happen. We know it's in the book of Acts where where the angels say to go ahead to Galilee, or after his resurrection, they say he's gone ahead of you. Right, and then Peter says, and even though if all of you fall away, I will never. Of course, we know what happens. We know that Peter, denies Jesus three times. Now here it says the rooster crows. I know there's two debates on that. Maybe it's a real rooster. Maybe it is the rooster, the description of the man who sounds the horn based on the time of day. You know, we don't know, I guess. We can say it's one or the other. As Andrew would say, it's not a salvation issue. But we can ask him sometime. He's probably done more research on it than I have. But I've had one Bible teacher tell me that it was a Roman person that announced the time of day, and they would signal that through a horn, or maybe like the horn of a bull, something like that. No. But you know, Jesus had you know, Peter had said something like that before, and that's when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, Peter was a character, you know, he might have been, you know, he's portrayed as kind of a big burly fisherman, you know, a guy that's like, you know, this is not going to happen, and I'm going to stop it. And, you know, he's that kind of character. And you can tell also the love that Peter has for Christ in his words and actions. And that Peter is going to be someone that Jesus is going to rely on heavily to lead the church going forward after his ascension. So he's going to trust, you know, he said that Peter would have the keys to the kingdom, that he would have the knowledge of the entrance, of how people would enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, any other thoughts on this particular section? I don't want to skip over it too fast, but I know it's something that we probably studied many times.
Well, it's just nice to be able to talk about it too. You know, there's a lot of ones hearing what I'm saying. I have to say, except John.
It's all right. That's why I make intentional pauses. Give people opportunity to say something. If you had some kind of thought or question. Because this is a serious, or as Don Joe said, heavy time for Jesus and the disciples. It's just a couple of days, and he's going to be on the cross. You know, we're coming to the conclusion of the gospel story. And we've not gone into every aspect, every, you know, detail or in depth. It takes a long time. And, you know, you think about it, we spend our lives studying the Bible. And then somewhere along the line, we realize how little that we know after we've studied and we've read and we've heard sermons and, you know, week after week for years and years and studied on our own and read daily Bible passages. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for John, but I know for myself that the more I read, it's like I need to go back and I need to review. I need to look at notes. I need to read a Bible commentary, or I need to read something else. You know, and I have a master's degree in Bible. I have a 4-year Bible degree, and then I have the additional 2 years for the master's degree. And I, you know, studied at Lipscomb and on my own, and ever since, you know, I had an opportunity to begin reading the Bible and fall asleep reading the Bible, right? And then I read something and I'm like, what is he saying? So it's good that we study, that we review, study again. It's like 2 Peter, we're being reminded. All right, I think I'm going to stop here. We got a few minutes early, but I'm going to stop here so we can pick up with verse 36 next time. Jesus in the garden, and that's when Judas actually comes to betray Jesus, and that is a very dramatic series of events that occur there with Judas and the soldiers when they betray Jesus. And then in verse 56, Matthew writes, All this was taking place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. All right? A lot of this was, the fulfillment of scripture. And that's what Paul preached. Paul, when he preached the gospel, or when Stephen or others, they would start out the gospel message, from the time of Abraham until now, that God sent this Jesus, to be, that he was both Lord and Christ, the one you crucified. All of it ties together in the story of Jesus. Any other thoughts or questions? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. It was going to happen that way. And that Jesus was in control every step of the way, regardless of how we look at it or it appears. That there was nothing he was going to come to this earth and die.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just this revelation or unveiling of the story, and just this is going to happen, and then it happens, and and the prophets in the Old Testament, they all predicted these things, and then now they're saying this is the fulfillment, and there's no way it can happen unless God's in control. So what Rick was saying, he said just that God and Christ, that they were in control of this whole situation, and it was going to come to fruition no matter what. And God and Christ, they know what's in man, right? They know humanity. He created us, and he knew what they were going to do. And that this is how it was going to play out, if you will. And, people often ask, and I just use this as an example, we always have all these debates about baptism and different things and the Bible and such, but this is my perspective. This whole world, this is God's creation. He created it. He can do whatever he wants to with it. He can dictate whatever he wants with his plans, with his covenants, with his agreements, with his history, what's coming in the future, weather, the sun. Just everything. It's God's creation. So we're just, we're just here to participate.
I'm just thinking about what Rick said, because I've never really thought about that either. But if you think that way when you're reading, then what I started thinking here was, well, how stupid these scribes and Pharisees were, how stupid they were, how unknowing, how ridiculous. But it's a storyline so that we can see it all. But sometimes
predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. Explanation right there in Corinthians. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day. And Father, we just approach your throne of grace, asking you to be with us. Thank you for this time that we can study your word, learn more about your son, Jesus, and his mission to provide forgiveness of sin through the shedding of his blood. Father, help us as we remember that this day during our time of worship. And Father, give us wisdom that only you can provide through your scriptures to help us to understand your will in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.